The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, ve'amen. Daf Ayin Tet. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Marat Zekanati Yafa Batzara. Bidun Nishmat, Abraham ben Esther, Hashem, Tanihem, Began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Washed Imam, Washed Ben Dina, and Narifan Alahim. For the nefesh, for the gufa, thank you, Rabbi Abba Vichin, Rasul Maraman, Amen. We begin today's daf in Ayin Chet Amud Bet. We are at the Braita, Tanu Rabbanan. It's about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 lines up. Second word on the line. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita, Gonev Hakita'at. Kita'at is an animal that's leg is cut off. Ve'et Ahigeret. Some explain Hegeret over here is like the animal has a limp. Where it has its leg, but it cannot move its leg. Ve'tasomeh, or he steals an animal that is blind. Ve'chena gonev behemat hashutafin, which means a behemat that belongs to two partners, he steals it. Hayav, in all these cases over here, he is need hayav to pay tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha if he sells it or he slaughters it over here. Which means hadush over here is even though he stole a kita'at, which means it's missing a leg, but he sold everything he stole. That's the way he stole it. So therefore, it's all considered utvaho kulo. Rashi says afal gav deleka kula hayav demay deganav huzabin kule. Which means whatever he stole, he sold it. So that's the first braita. Comes the Gemara and says. Now again, the hadush of shutafim is that even though you're not paying each individual guy 4 or 5, because you stole it from two partners. So you're paying each one hamisha hatsa'e bakar. Right? Because you have to split it, still you have to make the payment. So comes the Gemara and says, V'atanya shutafim sheganvu hayav. But we have another braita that says, that shutafim, let's say you have partners that stole, so you have to pay hayavim. I'm sorry, I skipped the end of the braita. V'shutafim sheganvu peturim. Partners that stole are indeed peturim, because l'chaura each one is not paying a full payment. They are partners themselves, and they stole. So Gemara has a question from another braita. Ve'atanya shutafim sheganu hayabim. What do you mean? So I have another braita that says that partners that stole their hayav to pay 4 or 5, they split the payment. So Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman la kasha. We can answer the two braitot. Kam b'shutaf sheganav mechavero, which means the braita that says the peturim is talking about where the ganav stole from his own partner. They were partners on an animal and he stole from his partner and therefore he sold it. So therefore you didn't sell the whole animal because half the animal belonged to you because you were a partner yourself. They have two partners, they all own the animal. He stole from his partner, he stole the other half. And therefore he sold it. That's the reason why you're patur, is because you didn't sell the whole thing b'isur, because you're selling half of it which belongs to you. Ah, and the braita that said hayav, kan b'shutav sheganav me'alma. And you have another kesur, a ganav, where they stole from regular partners, me'alma. Therefore they steal it, now already it's all stolen, and they sell it, that's why you have to pay arba'a v'chamisha. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Etive, we have a question from a writer. Aval, Rav Nachman, here's the question of Rav Nachman. Yachon, shutaf sheganav mechavero, v'shutafim sheganvu. You hayavim, do you think that a shutaf that steals from his friend, one partner steals from the other, or shutafim themselves, partners that get together and steal, you think they're going to be hayav? Tamud omar utbacho. What do we learn from the word utbacho? Kullo bar'inam, which means the tiviha has to be on a behemah that's kula be'isur. which means it has to be totally Isur, they're going to pay 4 and 5. Veleka, in these cases over here where Ganav stole from his friend, he's not stealing the whole, he's not storing the whole animal, because if the animal belongs to him, and therefore in Shutafim also, that they stole from another person, since you only stole half the animal, because your partner's in the thievery. So therefore the Tiviyachah is not considered that you're stealing, or that you're storing the full animal that you stole, because you only stole half an animal. So therefore you see, in both these cases, you do not pay Arba V'Chamisha. So we're back to a question, the Braita, Stira. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela Amar Rav Nachman, Lakashya, Kan B'Shutav Shetavach, Eda'at, Havero, Kan B'Shutav, Shetabach shelo leda'at havero, which means like this. That what it said. Hayav. Look at one case. A shutaf that stole from his partner. He had partners that owned an animal. One guy stole from his or shutafim sheganvu. They have two partners. They partnered up and they stole an animal from somebody else. Oh, so give me a case where they're going to be hayav arba'a v'chamisha. You know what the case is? Where one shutaf, he told his friend, I am going to, or he told his friend, slaughter the animal. Which means he was, shutaf shetavach ledat havero. He slaughtered the animal with his friend's permission, with consent. We thought the case was about stam. Two guys stole, and one guy slaughtered. Now, that's not enough. You only stole your part of it. You didn't slaughter the other guy's part. But if you get permission from the other partner that stole it, that already is going to be hayav. Look at Nashi. Shutaf. It's right before they get wide. שטבח לדעת חברו משלמין בין שניהם. They have to pay the 4-5 between them. דעיקה ותבחו כולה בחיובה. והטובה חייב על חלקו וחברו נמה. עשאו שליח. Which means now it's considered that it's done באיסור. Because he slaughtered his half, and the other guy gave him permission, so that's like he made him a שליח. So therefore the whole animal is considered slaughtered באיסור. You have to pay 4-5. Well, now, even though you have a question over here, you have a general rule, which means, how can it be where the other guy says, okay, slaughter for me. Let me slaughter for me. We have a general rule, if I tell somebody to make an avera for me, he gets the avera, not I do. But we're going to see now, by 4 and 5 payments, there's a special derasha that holds, yes, shaliyah advar avera. That I can tell somebody to slaughter for me, which is isur, and I get the avon. It goes against the general rule. Kol haTorah kula in shaliyah advar avera. There's no shaliyahut. The guy who does the avera is hayav. By arba v'chamisha, yes shaliyahut advar avera. So that was the case over here, the Braita. Which means he told them, they both stole an animal. Okay, shutafim. Now he goes and slaughters. But before he slaughtered, the guy tells, listen, be my shaliach, let me in mind. Oh, so it's considered as if he slaughtered as well. So therefore they're both considered kula b'isura, if he has to pay arba v'chamisha. Next lashi, shutaf shetavach shelo ledaat chavero. In the case of patur, it's talking about whether shutaf slaughtered the animal without permission from his friend. Patur deleka utbacho kulo b'chiyuba. Correct? But you don't have the whole slaughtering done by isur, meaning by chiyuva. Debai palga de chavre lo nasa shaliach. Because in the other half, it was not a shaliach. Ba'avi de ketoveya o mocher. Achar aganav de patur. De patur, right? It's like being toveya o mocher after somebody else stole it. Val kalkona me patur. Oh, now why would you be patur in your own chenek? Because you didn't slaughter the whole thing. Which is not only you pay, doesn't he have to pay anything? Nobody pays, because you're not going to pay half, because you didn't do a full tibiha b'isur. Oh, but we learned above that you pay hamisha atzei bakar. So let him pay half, let him pay for what he did. That's talking about where he stole a behemah of partners. And two partners on the animal. He stole it, so he slaughtered the whole thing. So he pays half to this guy and half to that guy. You know, he's paying Hamisha Hatsa'eh. But over here, where you didn't even make Tiviha Kula, then already you're not going to pay half the price. You only when you do full Isur, Then we can split the payment up. But not when you make half isul. So she's going to say, Vafagav, three lines down. Or let's say he was modet to one of them. They get even better. He stole. Modet b'knas is patur. So he stole from two guys. He went to one of the guys, by the way, I'm modet. I was toveyah. Does he have to pay that guy now?
No,
he was modet b'knas. But the other guy wasn't modet to. So then he's mamash paying hamisha chatzei bakar. He's really end up paying half payment. Because the other guy doesn't pay. But that's again why. Again, because at the time of the slaughtering, the whole thing was done. Bisur. Very good. So that's the basic answer between the two braitot. Isn't that clear? Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Ba'er birmiya. Mechara chutz meshloshim yom. Okay, sold the animal. However, he says, I get the first 30 days of work. He held back for himself 30 days. Then he wants to use it for 30 days. Chutz memelachta. He sold the animal itself. He wants to slaughter it, whatever he wants to do with the guy wants to do with it. However, he wants the zechut, that as long as the animal's still alive, he wants to work it. So again, in all these cases, he held back. There was a shiur in the mechira. Chutz me'ubara. Selling it to you, except for the children, the kids, right? The babies. Now, what is the deen? Are these items considered a shiur or not? Again, he held back work, he held back time, he held back the ubar. Is that considered, because we learned earlier, you have to sell the whole animal. The question of he held back something. So comes the Gemara and says, Aliba da manmar ubar yirich imohu lo tibayelach deha shiirba. We have a big machlokah. How do you consider ubar? We have, let's say the animal is pregnant. So once she does ubar yirich imo, ubar, as long as it didn't come out yet, it's considered a limb of its mother. It's a limb. It's another body part. Oh, so according to that shita, vadayu mishayir. You held back. You didn't sell part of the animal. It's like so holding back a piece of the meat. So therefore, if you hold ubar yirich imo, there's no question that that's going to be considered a siyur. Oh, the question would be kitivayet, that's the yerba. That's the goof of the behema. You didn't sell it totally. So you'd be patu, kitivayelach. Alibada mandama, the ubar lav yerich immo. According to the opinion, it says ubar is lav yerich immo, which is not considered one of the limbs. It's considered like a foreign element in the mother. Mahu, what's the deen? Memar amrin, and do you say, kevan de mehubar ba, have a shiur? Also, bottom line, it's still attached to her. It's still attached to her. You held back, you made a shiur, you held back on something that's part of her. Odilma kevan de mefrash mine ka'e, la shiur lava. Or do you say, no, since it's destined to come out, it's not a shiur. You sold the full mother, and there's something else going to come out. Lavdi would be considered like tsu'ah. Something like that. Well, it's going to come out eventually. So you don't consider it part of it. Says, Ika de amre. There's another way of asking this question. Kevan de lav yerich imos. One side to say, since it's not, right, a limb of the body, the yubar lo avish you. Therefore, it's not considered a shul. Odilma. Kevan de sarich le ishtaruye ba'ada b'shchita. Since when you slaughter the mother, the baby inside, the ubar, becomes mutar ba'akhila. That's the deen. When you even, it's inside of the mother's womb, over there, the animal's womb. When you slaughter the mother, the child becomes mutar. So therefore, since it's mutar b'shchita, there's a logic to say that could be it is considered a shiur, because it's connected to gabe, that what? You need shechita ta'im. You need the shechita of the mother for the child. Okay, that is the deen. Okay, Gemara leaves it in a teku. Gemara has a question. Ba'era papa. Ginava kita'a umchara. Guy stole an animal and he cut off one of the legs. Okay? And then he sold it. Now, what's the deen? Mi amrinan mai deganav halo zabim. Do you say, well, listen, what he stole, he didn't sell. He stole a full animal, and he sold it minus the leg. And the Torah says, mechara kula, you have to sell it full. Odilma, mad de zabin ha lo shiyir, which means from the behema that he sold at the time of the mechira, he didn't hold back anything. Which means, do you look at it from the time of the geneva? What he stole, he didn't sell. But what he sold everything. That's really the question. At which point do you look at mechara kula? Does mechara kula go the way you stole the animal? Well, I stole an animal that had legs. So now, I did not sell what I stole. But, then I cut the leg off. Now, what I sold, but, I sold completely at the time of the sale. I didn't hold back anything. Whatever the animal was at the time, that's what I sold. So that's the Gemara's sefek. So comes Gemara and says, Tiku. Gemara leaves that in a question as well. Taru Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ganav, venatan, la'acher, v'tabah. Okay, all these cases. Guy stole. Venatan, la'acher. Gave to somebody else to slaughter for him. Ganav, venatan, la'acher, umachar. Or he gave it to somebody else to sell it. Ganav, v'higdish. Okay, well, he stole the animal and he made it hikdash. Okay, now that's going according to the opinion that we learned earlier. That Mali, what do I care if you sell it to a hidyot? What do I care if you sell it to a hikdash? Bottom line, you changed the shuyot. Ganav vihikif. You stole the animal and then what? You sold the animal bahakafa. Which means akafa. He gave him the animal on credit. He's going to pay you later on. You sold the animal, but the guy didn't pay you for it yet. He's going to pay you 30 days later, whatever it may be like that. Ganav v'chliif, or you made a halipin. You sold the animal, you got another animal in its stead. Ganav v'natan b'matana. Oh, or you stole it and you gave it as a gift. Right, that was a question we had. Ganav upara chobo. He stole the animal and then he paid his debt. He owed money, borrowed money. And he paid his debt with the animal. Ganav upara bekefo. Which means, let's say he bought merchandise earlier. And he owed money for the merchandise. Correct? So now he bought something by kafa, with credit. So he paid his credit with the animal. Ganav v'shalach sevlonot bebet hamid. He stole the animal. He sent the animal as gifts to his arusa, to his engaged wife-to-be. He sent it to his father-in-law's house as matana. Mishalem tashlume arba v'chamisha. In all these cases, he has to pay for his means. In all these cases are considered like selling. Mechira labdavka. Give it as a gift. You paid your debts. All that's considered, bottom line, you change the shuyot. You want to be ayav. So Gemara says, Mekka mashma'alan. What's really the hadush of this braita? Ashmi'inan resha. Ganav v'natan la'acher v'tavach. They really hadush of the resha. I gave it to somebody else to slaughter. And the hadush is what? Yesh shaliach lidvar avera. That what? Afalgav debichod ha'tura kula. In shaliach lidvar avera. Acha yesh shaliach lidvar avera. May ta'ama utpacho או מחרו, מהמחירה דלו אפשר אליו על ידי האחר, והבטביחה על ידי האחר מחייב. Which means, even though בכל התורה כל האין שלי על דבר עבירה, שלא הייתה somebody else to do something, he gets the עוון, I don't get the עוון, what's the logic? דברי הרב ודברי התלמיד, דברי מי שומעי. Which means, I told you to do something. בורי העולם told you, don't do it. Who told you to listen to me for? Because I told you to do it, you should listen to your Borei Olam. You contracted to God before you contracted to me. So therefore, inshallah, but by utvacho mecharo, if I tell somebody to do it, I get the avon. Why? Gemara makes a drasha. Utvacho mecharo. Is it possible to sell an animal without a third party? I can't sell it without somebody else. So when I sell it, he bought it. Who gets the avon? I get the avon. Similarly to Vihaz, the same way. I tell this guy, you slaughter it, but the avon is credited to me, to the Mishaleya. So therefore, the Hadush of the Blight and the Resha is, Yesh Shaliyah Dvar Avera, I stole an animal, I tell the guy, go slaughter it for me, I have to pay 4 or 5. That is the Hadush. And what's the second Hadush in the Blight? Vashmeina Tzefa, Ganav V'Higdish. Oh, what's the Hadush in Ganav V'Higdish? Mali Mecharo Le'idyot, Mali Mecharo La'Shamayim. Like we learned earlier, what's the difference if I sell it to a common fellow? Or what's the difference if I sell it to a to the Shamayim. Bottom line, you got rid of it. You went to a different issue, therefore you're going to be Hayav. Arba'a v'chamisha. Comes the next Mishnah. Ganav. Birshut be'alim. Stole a shor or a seh. The animal was standing in the owner's property. Ganav went into the guy's backyard. He stole the animal. Betavach umachar chutz mirshutam. But he stole it, he sold it or slaughtered it outside, which means he brought it outside of the possession, in the reshut harabim, whatever it may be, and he sold it over there, outside of the reshut of the ba'alim. Or sheganav chutz mirshutam, or he stole it outside of their possession, he stole it in the reshut harabim. Betavach umachar mirshutam. He went back into the guy's possession, back to the guy's backyard, and he sold it or slaughtered it over there. Or sheganav betavach umachar chutz mirshutam, or he did everything outside the reshut of the ba'alim. Mishadim tashlumeh arba'a v'hamisha. Because bottom line, for one moment the ganav made a kinyan. Mm-hmm. Which means, so long as for one second the ganav made a kinyan on the ayin, for it to be a ganav, you have to have a ma'aseh kinyan. You have to be kuner as a ganav. If I just go into somebody's backyard and pick up an animal, remove an animal, I'm not kuner, it's in the guy's backyard. So for it to be hayav arba'a v'hamisha, have to be goner first. So in the first case, it was very simple. I stole it inside of the guy's backyard. It's nothing yet. But then I sold it outside. When I took it outside, even for a second, so now I took the animal outside, now I'm a ganav, now I sold it, hayav. Or I did everything outside. Or I stole it outside, then I went back inside and sold it. In all these cases, at least you have a ma'aseh, where the geneva, the ganav made a kinyan. Okay, look at Ashi on the fourth line. O sheganav chutz mirshuto. He stole it, let's say, in the reshut rabbim. Kena'o b'mshikha miyad. Right? One second, he makes mshikha on the animal. He's konet. V'na'asa ganav alav aval ganav v'tavach umachar b'shuto patur. Then lo na'asa alav ganav. Right, he went into the guy's backyard, and he never made a kinyan on it. He just went and slaughtered it, let's say, in the guy's backyard. That's not considered a geneva. Geneva, you have to have make a ma'asik kinyan to be hayav. But stam, guy, which is interesting, guy goes to the guy's backyard, slaughters the animal, that's not considered you're going to be hayav. You have to pay something, maybe mazik. That's right, you're mazik. But not considered geneva, that you have to pay dalvin. That's the next part of the Mishnah. Aval, ganav, betavach, umachar b'shutam. Everything was done in the reshut of the Baalim. He indeed is patur. Now, unless, let's say he made hagbaha. Let's say he went into the reshut of the Baalim and he lifted the animal. Which means hagbaha is koneh b'shut Baalim. But talking about mishikha, where you just drew the animal towards you, that would not be considered a different kinyani. You have to have the kinyani work. Hagbah, filu b'reshut ba'alim. Mishikha, dafka, shelo b'reshut ba'alim. Comes the Mishnah, there's haya, moshcho. Just in case. He was drawing the animal out. V'yotze, v'amit, b'reshut ba'alim, patur. On the way out, it died. Doesn't matter, it's not yours yet. You didn't steal it. And therefore, you're patur. Normally, a ganav has to pay for everything. But you're not a ganav yet. It died on the way out. However, higbiho, if you lifted it up, hagbaha yikone, even shlo b'shut ba'adim, even in b'shut ba'adim, it's off the karka, therefore made a kinyan. Or hotzi'o b'shut ba'adim, or let's say it went out, it stepped out of the b'shut ba'adim, v'amet, hayav, then he has to pay kefil, because the ganav is hayav even on scene, even on things that happen out of the control. Netano lebechorot beno. Guy stole an animal, and he had a pigeon for his son, so he needs to pay the kohen 5 coins. So what did he do? He took the stolen animal and he used it to be put there his son. And what? The kohen has no idea. The kohen thinks that it's regular property. He doesn't know that it's stolen goods, so he takes it. But where's the animal? The animal is in the reshut of the ba'alim. Which means the guy tells the Kohen, go in the backyard over there and take that animal over there. So the Kohen thinks it's his backyard, it's his animal, it's everything. So the Kohen goes into the backyard and he takes the animal for the pigeon ben. Or the Baal Chov, or he owes money. So he tells the guy, listen, the 1,000 naza owe you, go take my animal. It's over there right in the corral over there. So the guy goes in and he takes it. The Shomer Chanam, or he gives it to a Shomer Chanam, he says, go watch my animal. The Shoed, or somebody says, could you lend me an animal? No problem. Go over there, take it over there. No, says Sakhar, or Shomer Sakhar, he's paying him to watch it for him. Ul Socher, or he gets rent, he rents it. Ve'aya Moshko. So one of these guys that had no idea is pulling it out. Famet b'reshut ha-ba'alim, and it died in the reshut ha-ba'alim. The ganav is patur. Why? Because he never stole it. Because he never stole it. Exactly. He never stole it. There was no ma'aseh kinyan on the geneva. No, the other guy was not stealing it either. We're not coming out to steal it.
If he pulled it,
because it was still in the reshut ha-ba'alim.
see what the
Gemara
says.
Okay, good question.
That's what he
said. Now, did that himself? Yeah. Here's the Hiddush, which is one, let's say one of these guys made a Hagbaha, or let's say they took it out of the Rishud Barim and then it died, I mean, Hayav. The Ganav is Hayav to pay kefir, because bottom line, there was Maasek, even though the Ganav himself did not make the Maasek Geneva. Didn't we just learn? Yes, Shaliach. Go get it. Go take it. They're going on his will. So therefore, they made Agbaha. They made a Kenyan. They're not Ganavim. I mean, they didn't intend to steal. But since he sent them to go do it over here, so therefore he's Hayav to pay kefir.
He's Hayav, not the guy.
Not the guy that actually lifted it up. Look at Rashi, please. Rashi says, Netano. Rashi, what about Netano? Netano, Ba'alav, Lebechorot, Beno, the Kohen, Bahamisha, Selaim, Shapijon, Ben. Okay, next Rashi. Hayam Moshko, HaKohen, O Ba'al Chov, Washomer, Umet, Peshut, Ba'alim, Patur, Ganam, Mikulam. Good. Now, we look at the Lishna Harina. Let's go back up there to Rashi. Rashi gives a different gifsa. Back to the last Rashi, Lishna Harina. Detano ganav lebechorot beno, venatnu lo sham bemakom shegenavo leshomer hanam veshoel. That's the way really we learned. Which means he told them, it's over there, go get it. Look at the next Rashi. Patur. Haganav mekulan. Venashon harina kar. Hay hayav. A ganav kai, correct. It's going back on the ganav. The mechayev ganav b'kinyan shluchav. That's the key. He's hayav on the kinyan that his shaliach makes. Okay, go to the Tosafot. Dibura matchil natnu lebechorot beno.
There you go.
Or lebaal chov. Scroll down a bit to the v'im tomar. You're right in the middle of that Tosafot. V'im tomar ve'amay mechayev b'mshicha ve'ain shaliach varavera. What are you talking about? How can you say that the Ganav is going to be Hayav? He told him to go get it. He made the Agbaha, the Kohen. And now you're crediting it to the Ganav. Enchal Varavera. Here's Tomar. Dehanehu lo yad'e. De'ateli yad'e b'esura. This Kohen doesn't think he made it Isur at all. Ela sevunin shaya shelo. Which means, Uben the Lishna de Mefarej, Papere Kamad of Messiah, Tamad, in Shalvar Avera, Mishum, the Shaliah Bar Hayuva, with the Vera of the Atomid of Remishomain. That's how it doesn't apply when you don't know. Which means, the only reason why we say, in Shalvar Avera, is because, you should, who'd you listen to me for? You should listen to Borei Olam. Listen to Borei Olam, I didn't even know I was making Yisur. So therefore, the Sevarav, in Shalvar Avera, doesn't apply in a case where the Shaliah himself doesn't know what he's doing. And this case of Itur is doing it there, so you can't blame him. What that's the vara, Ben Lishna, Diba Avid, Ibae, Lo Avid, which means another Sivara says, well, you should have done it. Who told him? He had to listen. But that doesn't apply to a case where he doesn't know that he's making any sur. En Shayach Lekan Da'atam, En Yodeya Shashaliach, Yavor Balkan, Yodeyahu, Shiikach. Which means above the Sevara is, you know why I'm not Hayav? Who told him to listen? I didn't have to listen to me. I'm the Shali, the Meshaleya. The second Sevara is, who told him to listen to me? Because I told him to do it, he has to do it? Oh, but in this case, you knew he was going to do it. Because why shouldn't he do it? I owe him. I told him to go take it. So both Sevarot of why En Shaliya Vara Vera don't apply in this case over here. Number one reason is because from the Shaliyah side. You should listen to Borei Olam. What are you listening to me for? What do you mean? I was listening to Borei Olam. I didn't know it was Yisud. Second Sevara, I come along and say, I didn't have to listen to me. What do you mean? I told him to make an Avera. I'm expecting he's to listen to me? Right. So if he can't credit me, yeah, but in this case, of course you expect him to listen to you. So that's really a Shidichut. So therefore, either way, but normally we say En Shalvar Avera, just for answer over here, Yesh Shaliach Ledvar Avera. It is considered a Shlichut. Let's go to the Gemara a bit. Ba'e Amemor. Amemor asks a question. Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomrim Olo. Okay. You have the Chayuv of the Arba Shomrim. Okay. Shomer is not Hayav to pay. Well, that's the question. Until he makes Meshicha. Or, just like a regular Kinyan Meshicha, I'm buying something. I don't own it until I make a Meshicha, until I draw it to me. So the question is, by Shomrim, to be Hayav, does the Shomer have to make a Meshicha or not? Look at Rashi. Shelo yitchayev Shomer Meshmina ad sheyimshoch. Or do you say, no, once he accepts upon himself, okay, I'll take care of it, I'll watch it. Okay, then you have to, once you accept upon yourself. Well, no, does he have to make mamash a kinyan meshicha? Amar Rav Yemar. Tashema, our story, our Mishnah. ותנו לבחורות בנו או לבעל חובו ושומר חנם ושואל לנושא שכן וסוחר והיה מושכו ויוצא right? The shomer was being moshek the animal outside of the guy's possession ומת פשוט הבעלים פטור. But if the shomer lifted it up, then we say what? The ganav is going to be חייב. My love shomer. Oh, which is when it says היה מושכו. What are we talking about over here? That the Shomer was being Moshech over here in order to watch it for the Ganav. And therefore, what do we see? If he was Motzi, Birshut HaBe'alim, with the permission of the Be'alim, Hayav HaGanav, B'mshichat the Shomer. Correct? Which is the Shomer, it's himself. Went into the, do me a favor, could you watch my animal? Okay, where's your animal? It's over there, please go take it. So what do we say? On the way out, if it died inside, so the Ganav is patur. If he lifted it up, and he brought it out. So therefore, would we say then the ganav is going to be hayav? Ushma minna. But what do you see from over here? Tikdu meshicha b'shomrin. You see that what the rabbis did institute meshicha b'shomrin. Because if you're going to say that they did not make meshicha b'shomrin, which means the shomer was not mitkaven to make a kinyan at all in the meshicha. And therefore, how could the ganav be chayav on such a meshicha? But if you said it, they were mitaken meshicha b'shomrim, so the shomer was mitkaven to make a maaseh kinyan for his shemirah. If he could say he's chayav in kefil. Again. Yeah, no. He made a meshicha, let's say he took it out. Okay? Out of the ba'alim. So that's only the case. It died outside. Okay, so when we say that ganav is hayav, if many meshichah, let's say in Meshut Baalim, and he walked it out, then it died. It died outside. Outside, ganav is hayav. Why? Only if you tell me that there's a din of meshichah b'shomrim, so you could say the shomer was mitkaven for that meshichah, because he knows you got to make a meshichah to be hayav. I'm watching for you, so to be hayav, I got to make a meshichah. Therefore, when you mitkaven for a kinyan, then I could say that the ganav is chayav. But if I say that what in meshicha b'shomrim, so the guy was not mitkaven to make a kinyan. So if you're not mitkaven to make a kinyan, then why should the ganav have to pay kefil? That's the Gemara's question. Rashi, my love, hayam moshcho shomer v'amet chayav ganav meshichat shomer. Exactly, the meshicha the shomer. So amar le lo, he told him no. Ganav. Oh, the Mishnah over here is talking about when the Mishnah says that he gave it to the Kohen, or he gave it to the Baal Hov, he gave it to the Shomrim. It's talking about where the Ganav himself took it out. So you don't have Meshichat to Shomer. You have the Ganav himself. Look at Rashi. Lo, Ganav. Vehachi Kamar. Natan Baal Abayit. Lebechorot Beno. New case. The Baal Abayit gave the animal for his bechor. He's allowed to do that. Uba ganav legunvo misham. And the ganav now went to take the animal outside. Hayam moshko v'yose. So therefore it's a different case. Or let's say the Baal Abayit gave it to the shomer to watch. New case. Baal Abayit gave it to the shomer to watch. And the ganav went to the Shomer's house and is going to have it from the Shomer. Well, you thought till now, we had a different case. We thought it was talking about where the Ganav himself is making the Pidyon. The Ganav himself is giving it to the Shomer. And therefore the Shomer is making the Meshicha. So we wanted to answer, oh yes, Meshicha and Meshicha. That's not the case. The Baal Abayit gave it to the Shomer. The Baal Abayit told the Shomer, watch my animal. The guy said, absolutely. Now the Ganav came and he went in and he made a meshicha, so the ganav is going to be hayav if it's in, if it's out. Therefore, the shomer didn't touch the animal. The shomer is just under, contract to watch the guy's animal. They didn't make the meshicha at all. The ganav made the meshicha. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hatana l'resha. We know that case already. That's the beginning of the Mishnah. that's a regular case. Where a ganav went into somebody's possession, if it died inside, patur. If it died outside, hayav. It's the same case. So what do I care now? He gave it to the Kohen for pidyon. Ganav came in, out. It's the same story. What do you need to tell me? It's the same mechanics. The ganav pulled the animal. If it died inside the reshut, patur. Outside, hayav. This case over here now, he gave it to the shomer. Okay, he gave it to the shomer to watch. But where is it? In the reshut ba'anim. Ganav came in. If it died inside, patur. If it died outside, it's the same case as the resha. Because the Quran says, Tana ganav sheganav bebet ba'alim, betana ganav sheganav bebet shomer. It's two cases. Which means, you have two situations. One where you stole the mamash from the owner, and one where you stole from the shomer. Okay, the different case, the fahot. Amale rabba shehere, lo tidhiyye. Mali ganav sheganav bebet shomer, mali ganav sheganav bebet ba'alim. Come on, what's the difference? That's going to be your dihiyya. The shomer is like the owner. Ela lav shomer. Ela, it's like we learned originally. And who stole it? Sorry, who ate meshicha? The shomer, meaning Balabait gave it to the. You know, Balabait has an animal. The ganav tells the guy, "Do me a favor, go watch my animal for me over there. It's right over there." The guy went in and he made meshicha. If you tell me in meshicha the shomer, the guy was not mitkaven to make even a kinyan. How could the ganav be hayav? Ella must be yesh meshicha the shomer, so he had kavanah to make a kinyan. That's why the ganav is hayav. Shmami na tiknu meshicha be shomrim. Shmami na itman name Amar Rabbi Elazar. Keder shetutu meshicha be lakuhot. כך תקנו משיכה בשומרים. תעניין המאחר, כדי שתקנו משיכה בלקוחות, כך תקנו משיכה בשומרים. Which means, just like they made a תקנה. Okay. That what? You have to make a משיכה when you're buying something? You know you paid money. The buyer doesn't own it until he actually makes a משיכה. So too they made the din of משיכה by שומרים. You're not חייב, שומר that is, until he actually makes a meshicha.
Yemara continues. Ushem shakarka niknit bekesef ubeshtar b'chazaka. Kach sechirut niknit bekesef ubeshtar b'chazaka. But it's just like karka, when you buy property, there's three ways to acquire property: either kesef, paying with money, or through a shtar, let's say document, or hazaka. Hazaka means the purchaser does something to the field. He builds a fence around the field, or he digs something into the field. He does something per se to the field itself to be konik. So it says, just like karkas niknit, but one of those three ways, kach sechiru'ut, so to renting, niknit bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. When you want to rent something, so therefore the renter acquires the item also in one of three ways, kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. So you want to say, sechiru'ut demai. What are you renting exactly? If it's talking about where you're renting movable items, we have a rule. You cannot acquire metaltele, movable items, with a shtar. Even if you're renting it, shtar does not kone metaltele, movable. That she says, top line. If let's say a person's renting him his vessels, as we learned, the only way to be acquiring movable items is through mishicha. Means the fellow gives money and the other guy has to be actually moshech, pull the item. Now, also, she says, which means kesef also is really not kone metaltelin, but at least kesef does something to metaltelin. There's a halacha that says once a person pays so for an item, so and then the seller backs out, so he's under a curse. The curse is called the mishapara. Mishapara, where we say that God that took retribution against the people of Dora Mabul and Dora Palaga, that they didn't keep their word. So too God should take retribution against this man that gives his honor, and the guy paid money already, and he didn't keep his word. So even kesef is affects metaltelin. Kesef affects metaltelin, but the Gemara is asking on shtar. You cannot tell me that just like kesef shtar b'hazaka works by karka, it works by schirut. What type of schirut? Schirut of metaltelin? Renting movable items? Shtar doesn't work. Even kesef doesn't work. But at least kesef does something. Kesef will put the person under the now. He's obliged to keep his word. That if he backs out after the kiss was paid, he's under the curse of a mishapara. But the point is, what type of sechirut are you talking about? That's kesef shtarim hazaka.
So the Gemara says, Amar Pazda sechirut de karka.
Right? Sechirut de karka means if a person, let's say, renting somebody a field. He's not selling him the field, he's renting him the field. So the only way the renter acquires it either is when he pays money, or he gives a shtar, or he makes a hazaka. So just like purchasing a field is through kesef shtar hazaka, renting a field is under the same tree, kinyanim, kesef shtar and hazaka. Amar bil azar, ra'u shetmin mehorshim. Back to our story, you have a case over here of a guy, he's hiding in the forest, or in the fields, in order to steal sheep from the shepherd. Shepherd has a whole pile of sheep, has a whole flock of sheep. So you have this guy's ambushing in the yard, as she says, in order to jump out and grab the animals and slaughter them. He's a thief. So it says they saw him, they caught him. Vetavahu machar. And why do you do this guy? He still went and he took one of the animals from the shepherd and he slaughtered it and sold it. Mishalim tashlum arba v'hamisha. So he has to pay 4 or 5. Ganav v'tavahu machar. Kabbalah says, what do you mean? Amai halo mashach. He didn't make a kinyan. We learned on the earlier amud that what for ganav to be hayav, he has to actually make meshicha. He has to be koneh the animal first. Here he just went to the animal and slaughtered it, but he didn't take possession of it. You know, hayav arba v'hamisha, unless you actually the ganav takes a possession. Amar Rav Chasda shekisha b'makel. He took a stick and he hit it. So when he hit the animal, the animal walked as a result of it, and therefore that's considered a meshicha. So he did make a kinyan. So Gemara says, Amar Amre, v'chivan d'ra'uhu gazlanu. What are you talking about? This guy's not a ganav. A ganav does something in hiding. This guy's called the gazlan because they see him. They saw him hiding in the field, and then he goes and takes the animal. Now a gazlan does not pay kefir, nor does he pay arba v'chamisha. So Gemara says, kevan d'kam mitamre minayu ganavu. He's really a ganav because it's the same mechanics of a ganav. A ganav steals at night when nobody's seeing. He steals in a hidden way. This guy also is considered a ganav because he's hiding. So it shows he's afraid. The mechanics of a ganav is he's afraid of people. That's why he does it in hiding. So this guy's also, even though they see him, but his bottom line is afraid. That's why he's hiding in the field. So therefore, he has the deen of a ganav. So comes the Gemara and says, look at what she says, Kevan dira'uhu, they're asking a question, right? Since they see him, gazlanu, velo dome le ganav, bifneshnayim. Da'atam, afagav da hazulesh ad inche, lo mistefe minayu. De memar amar, lo minayu shakil namidi. Which means, a regular guy is a ganav, he's afraid of people. He's afraid. She says, now, even though, let's say, when a person steals in front of two people, you have two witnesses, right? Two witnesses have to see that he stole. Also, he's not scared. So she says, no. Hatam afagav de hazule sh'ar inshe lo mistefe minayu. De memar amar lo minayu shakin namidi. He's not scared. Because she says, those people that see me, I'm not taking anything from them. So therefore, he's not scared. But he's scared of the person that he is stealing from. That's a ganav. The mechanics of a ganav is he's scared of the person that he's stealing from. He doesn't want to get caught in front of him. So if you notice witnesses watching him, that doesn't bother him. He's bothered from the guy himself. Aval horshin, which means, but this guy, horshin, the guy's hiding in the field, you know, watching the shepherd. Mar'e lakoli velo yada demaninu hach behema, which means he doesn't know, everybody's walking over there in that area. He doesn't know which guy owns the animals, because there's many shepherds over there. So therefore, he doesn't care to nobody. He doesn't know which guy's the owner, and which guy's stopped walking, and which guy owns this thing. And what? He's ambushing over there, everybody sees him. So he's not a ganav, he's a gazlan, he's fearless. That's basically the point. A gazlan is fearless, he don't care about people. So why do you tell me he has to pay? So the Gemara says, no, the reason we're talking about over here is because he has the mechanics of a ganav. Because if he was really fearless, he'd be right there in the beginning, right? He'd be out there in the public. But the fact that he's hiding, so you see, he really is scared to get caught. So therefore, he has a din of a ganav. Even though they see him, but he is scared of them. Therefore, he has a din of a ganav. His intention was to hide. Even though they caught him, his intention was to hide. Therefore, he has a din of a ganav. So comes Gemara and says, so what's a gazlan? Me'el a gazlan, hechidam. Give me a case of a gazlan. How do you become a gazlan? What's a gazlan? Amar Rabu, kigon benayah ben yoyada. I just said benayah ben yoyada. Shnei emar, ve'exod tachanit me'adam misri ve'yargiu. Very simple. He grabbed the sword out of the misri's hand and he killed him with it. Benayah was Shlomo's general. So that's my mash gazlan. The guy's in front of him, face to face. He grabbed the thing out of his hand, benayah ve'exod. He's fearless. He doesn't care if the guy sees him. He grabbed it out and he took the sword and he killed him with it. So the gezela is done in front of the victim. Directly, you're not scared. That's called a gazlan. Ganav is done in secret. Bahanit, Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Kegon Baal Eshechem. Yohanan says, like the story of Baal Eshechem, Shehne Amar, the Yasimu no Baal Eshechem, Me'arvim. He made Me'arvim is like ambush, the people of Shechem. Al Rashe Yarim on the mountains, Vayigzelu it called Asher Yavru Aleim Baderech. Anybody that passed, they grabbed them. So also, that is a enyan of Gezelah, the Gemara says. The Rabbi Abu might tell Manu Amar Mehai. Oh, so the Gemara says, why did Rabbi Abu bring from the first pasuk of Benayahu grabbing the sword? Why didn't he bring from this pasuk of Yav Shechem? Amalecha kemadi metamre et mure lav gazlinim. They were hiding, they were ambushing. They were ambushing and they were grabbing the people. That's already that's not a gazlan, that's ganav. Rabbi Hanan had to come at Tamre, they were only ambushing, not because they were scared. They didn't want to be seen because then they wouldn't walk down that road and they wouldn't be able to ambush them. So therefore they weren't scared. It was a tactic, it was a strategy. So that was also considered a gazlan. Shalu Tamidavit Rabbi Hanan ben Zakkai. The rabbis, the students asked Rabbi Hanan ben Zakkai, why does the Torah say a ganav has to pay double, or a gazlan only has to pay back the kid, it has to pay back the principal? Ganav pays kefir. Gazlan does not pay kefir. Gazlan just pays principal. Why was the Torah more mahmid by ganav than gazlan? Amalein. Which means this guy, the gazlan, at least he's consistent. He has no fear of anybody. Doesn't fear God, doesn't fear human beings. He goes right in public, doesn't care what anybody says. The ganav, he puts the fear of man higher than the fear of God. He goes in the middle of the night, he says, oh, God's not watching, God's not seeing me over here. So therefore, to put the fear of man over the fear of God, that already is a more severe punishment. He made it as if the ayin shel mata, the eye of God, that's surveillancing the world, that he doesn't see. He goes at night, he says, nobody sees me. I mean, if God is watching you, he says, oh, nobody's watching, nobody can see me at night. That's why he thinks he's going to get away with it. But he's afraid of man, but he's not afraid of God. And also, he pays no attention to the ozen shemata, the ear on the earth. The ear means the nignav, the guy that gets stolen. What does he do when he wakes up and sees he got stolen? He cries out to God. And God hears him. And if God's going to take retribution, he makes believe that God doesn't hear this guy. He's not scared of the eye of God, nor is he scared of the ear of God that hears the plea of the nignav the next day when he finds out. Shnei emad, hoy ha-ma'amikim me-hashem listor lastir etza. They go clandestinely in the middle of the night in a very secretive way, and they say that God left the world, he's not here, he cannot see me. So therefore they're more scared of people than they are of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore God says Torah's reason of kefil is because hashkafically they are doing something wrong. They're putting kavod of human beings above kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore they are penalized for that mistake that they made as well. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Mashlum Mashal. They give him Mashal to explain this. Mishum Rabban Gamliel. Lemadav Adome. What is it analogous to this concept? Mishneh Bera Adam Shayu Be'ir. Two guys in the city, they made a party. One guy invited the townspeople, but he did not invite the king's people. And one guy didn't invite anybody. He didn't invite the townspeople, he didn't invite the king's people. Who's worse? The guy that invites the townspeople and does not invite the king's people, that's a bigger slight to the king. He's showing more respect. You're giving more respect to the townspeople. So therefore, same thing with the ganav. The ganav, he is scared of people. That's why he does things at night. He doesn't want people to see him, but he's not scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where is the Gazlan? Let's get him anybody. Amar b'meir bo'ureh, kama gadol kowach shel melacha. Go look how much the Torah values the power of working, or the importance of working, making a parnasa. Why? Shor shebetom melachto hamisha. Says shelo betom melachto arba. Which is when a person steals an ox, he has to pay 5 times. When a person steals a sheep, he has to pay 4 times. What's the difference? Because a shor works, and shor plows. Therefore, when you're stealing the ox, you're causing the guy now, he can't work, he loses work. And therefore, the Torah values work, and therefore, when you steal an ox, now the guy you took away from his livelihood that he cannot work, therefore you have to pay 5 times. Whereas a sheep is really not for working. A sheep is like for profit, for shearings and for meat. Therefore, you don't have to pay for... Look at how much God is sensitive to the respect of the people, even the ganav. Which means the ganav, to steal an ox, there's less shame because the ox is able to walk. So therefore, he walks it out. And therefore, since there's less shame, he has to pay more money. Whereas a sheep, he has to actually lift it up in order to steal it. Therefore, it's more embarrassing for the ganav. So God factors in the embarrassment that the ganav has to go through in order to steal the item. Therefore, he pays less. So the hashborot of the Torah are very, very medugdak, and they're based on reasons that you would not think of. Hashkafic reasons, you're putting God above the human beings. That's in his mind, and you're putting also reasons of sensitivity as well. Gadol kawah melacha, work is very important. Yes, mevatel the guy in the shul. Right, comes the next mishnah, and we get the name behemad dekah. And just say, in order to grow behemad dekah, raise, I should say behemad dekah. What's behemad dekah? We'll call it, I guess, small animals, domesticated sheep, goats, things like that. Why? Because they eat up the land. Gezer. People have land in Eretz Yisrael. What's going to happen? These animals roam, and they start eating up other people's lands. You cannot settle a country if you're going to have the animals roaming around eating up everybody's land. It's not going to be it's conducive for dwelling. So therefore, you cannot raise goats or sheep in Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to raise them in Syria. Rashi says in Aram Soba, what's the Hadush? Even though David HaMelech conquered Aram Soba, but that's called Kivush Yahid. That's a private conquest. And a private conquest is not considered Kadosh, like Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, in Syria, they were allowed to raise these animals. Okay, and in the fields of Eretz Yisrael, outside of the Yishuv, outside where the settlement is, you're allowed to raise these animals. One is not allowed to raise chickens in Jerusalem because of the korbanot. Because there's a lot of korbanot in Yerushalayim, kadashim, right? And what happens, the way of the chickens, they peck in the garbage cans. We're worried that what? They're going to peck in the garbage can and take something that is tameh, and they're going to go metameh the kadashim, the korbanot. Therefore, since their way is to take things from one place, put it in another place, metameh things, no chickens raising in Jerusalem because of the kadashim. Now she says, she Israel uchlim sham basar shilamim. Right, even the regular, not the kohanim. The Israelim, they eat korban shilamim, they eat korban todah, maaser behema, and therefore we're concerned that they might bring even a little etzim kisorah, a little bone fragment the size of a barley, and they might mitameh the kadashim. Velo kohanim be'eretz Yisrael b'nei tarot. Any kohen is not allowed to raise chickens anywhere in Israel. Kohanim, why? Because the tarot is always eating terumah. If he's raised chickens, we're worried he might take something from the ashpa. I go mitameh the guys to me. So no chickens in Jerusalem. That's for everybody because of kodashim. Because korbanot only eaten in Jerusalem, and in all of Israel, no kohanim bechlal because of the inyan of the tarot. And megadalin hazirim bechol makom. A person is allowed to raise pigs. The Gemara will explain why not. Lo igdal adam et hakelev. A person should not raise a dog, unless you pull it on a leash. Why? Because it bites. It's dangerous and also scares people. And God forbid it causes ladies to have miscarriages. If it scares a lady, it's just a miscarriage. So therefore, one should not raise dogs unless he has them protected on a leash. And porsim nishuvim leyonim, one should not cast his nets in order to trap doves, unless he is far from the yeshuv 30 reis, which is like 3.5 kilometers. The point is, because we're worried that by putting these traps out, you might catch people's doves that are owned. because the people, the animal, the doves fly around. So if you put your traps out, you're going to end up stealing people's doves. So therefore they say you should set your traps out 30 reis outside of the yeshuv, which already considered that whatever's flying over there is already considered hefker. Comes Gemara says Tarur Banan in Megadirin BeMadaka BeEretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to raise sheep, goats in Eretz Yisrael. Again, why? Because they ruin the yeshuv. These animals roam and they eat from the product of other people's lands. It says Aval Megadirin BeHorshin SheBeEretz Yisrael. Okay, but in the horshin of Eretz Yisrael. What is horshin of Eretz Yisrael? It's in the yarot, which means in the fields, in the forest. It's far away from the yeshuv. It's not a problem. Besuria and in Syria, afilu bi yeshuv. Right, in Syria, since it's not considered kadosh, even though David HaMelech conquered it, well, that a private conquest is not considered like a total annex of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you could have the sheep and the goats in Syria, even in the yeshuv itself, even in the mainland where the people are, the answer goes without saying in Chutz La'aretz, in Babel, and other places, for sure you're allowed to have sheep goats. So the only gezera was made where? In the yeshuv of Eretz Yisrael. Tanya idach, en megadalim be'madaka be'Eretz Yisrael, megadalim b'medbar shel Yehuda, u'b'medbar shebe'sefar Akko. You can raise them also on the border. Sefar is the border. But yeah, Akko, no problem. However, big animals, you're allowed to raise in Eretz Yisrael, cows and things like that. Mutar. Why? If goes in sibur, sibur, you only make a gezerah on the people if the majority of people are able to withstand the gezerah. You can import. If they need Be'ma Daka, meat and stuff like that, they can import from Chutz La'aretz. Avam Be'ma Gasa, Yefshar Lavim Chutz La'aretz. It seems they're not able to import. They can't transport them. Or they need them. They need them for plowing. They need them for carrying loads and things like that. Therefore, you cannot make a gezerah, so you can't raise them. And also, they're a little more able to watch them. You're able to watch Be'ma Gasa from roaming. Mashiach and these other animals, they roam. And therefore, they're going to ruin everybody's field. They're going to eat everybody's field. So therefore, the Hakamim said, "Be'ma gasa, okay? Be'ma daka, problem." Even though the rabbi said that you cannot raise be'ma daka, it's said, "Aval mashe'u kodem l'regel shloshim yom," which means he's able to bring them from Chutz La'aretz from 30 days already before the holiday. So he leaves them for the shechita, for the meat, for the holiday. So already 30 days before the holiday is a moratorium. He can bring in Be'ma Daka and use them for the shechita, for the holiday. The kodem mishte beno lamidyom. And also if he's making a wedding, let's say, for his son getting married, he needs meat for the wedding. So therefore, he can bring the basar in from 30 days already before to prepare. Ubelvad shlo yeshet aharonim shloshim yom. But as long as the last animals that he brought in, you still have within that 30-day window. Which you don't think that, let's say, you're bringing in from day one, day two, day three. Maximum, you only have up to 30 days before the holiday. Let's say that the item you brought in on day 26. Don't think that you're going to count 30 days from day 26. No, it's 30 days. That's already the cutoff point. 30 days before the holiday. The second, the gamina di inafik lel regel umichi zavna adashta, which means that the holiday passed. But from the time that you bought the behemah daka until now adashta akati lo maluna teltin yumin, 30 days not passed yet. Lo nema teltin mishra shari lel shuye. Don't think that what? That it's going to be mutar. Once the holiday passes, you're not allowed to keep it at all. Which means it's mamash 30 days before the holiday, up to the holiday itself. You don't calculate when you bought it plus 30. Within 30 days, once the holiday comes, it's over. So comes again, when I continues and says, that tabah is the butcher. Okay, well, the butcher obviously needs meat, right, to sell and things like that. Lokeyach v'shohet, lokeyach v'shohet. It's the same concept. He could buy and slaughter, and he could buy and also be shohet. Shohet, which means because he needs for the Yom HaShuk. It seems it was like a certain day, the market day, right, where people all go buy meat. So he could stock up before the market to buy Be'ma Daka. However, what's the aguna that she says? The later ones that he purchased, he cannot keep them only up until the market day. Don't think you count 30 days from when he, Agunem is the late ones. The ones he bought late, he cannot keep them 30 days from when he bought them. Same law. He can only keep them until the market day, and the 30-day window is applied to him as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.